The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Friday, the 11th of October, 2024, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. It's a Friday, that means it's a sports Friday. I have joining me in studio this morning, Mr. Stanley Mitchell, and we are going life and legacy of Mr. Keith Parker, along with some of our top sports stories for the week. We are following Jonquel Jones and the Liberty. We're following Jazz and the Yankees and Anton Richardson and the Mets. We've got some other sports news. Bahamas Dragon Boat Festival into third year. And some NFL stats for you. But before we get the show started, I know we have all heard the breaking news this morning about the passing of Mr. Philip Galanis. I will read a statement from the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, Mr. Philip Davis. It is with a heavy heart and a deep sense of personal loss that I reflect on the passing of my dear friend, Philip Galanis. This is not just a loss for me, it is a profound loss for our party and our entire country. On behalf of my wife, Anne Marie, and our family, I extend our beloved wife, Tanya, and their daughter. Our hearts go out to them, and we mourn with them during this incredibly difficult time. It is indeed tragic news, and as we say, condolences to the family and loved ones of Mr. Philip Galanis. Before we get the show started, I have to read this headline. Boy 8 dies in apparent suicide, police say. Child found hanging with belt around neck. An 8-year-old boy died in a reported suicide outside his home on St. Albans Drive, New Providence. Yesterday, police said the boy was discovered by older siblings shortly before noon. I just wanted to make the point that let us be careful. We owe this child a duty of care, even in death, and that is to ensure that we take every means and measure available to us to investigate this matter and determine what happened to this young child. It is very, very sad news, and we say condolences to family and loved ones of this young boy. It is just a very tragic day, a tragic 2 days. And although we'll be going into a long holiday weekend, which means that children won't have access to the psych support services that schools may offer. Dear parents, take some time this weekend to sit and talk with your kids, to begin or to continue establishing an environment, a space where your kids feel comfortable coming and talking to you about the things that are on their minds. We render our children in a bipolar state where we expect them to act like adults when we need them to, and we expect them to act like children when we want them to. We're creating very difficult spaces for young people to navigate because of our dereliction of duty. I see I have a caller on the line. Good morning, caller.
doing, Ms. Green?
Good morning, sir.
Hey, Rita, yeah, I sort of just agree with you on that, right? I think parents need to do more random research, random room searches, probably every month or so to see exactly what's going on in these homes.
Okay, no, why are we disagreeing? That's another thing. I like that. We should add that to the list, eh?
Yeah, and plus two, right? I think that we give these kids nowadays too many options.
Okay.
One, they have an option what to watch on TV. Two, they have an option to go to church or not to go to church.
Mm-hmm.
Three, they even call their parents by their first name. You know how disrespectful that is?
Hold on, but it's parents who allow them to call them by their first name, eh?
Yeah, but that's what you're trying to say now. So now then we wonder why what's going on in this country now and why people can't even hold a job. If you were disrespecting your parents, right, you think you can listen to anyone on any job?
Okay, no. So here's what I'm saying. If a parent creates the environment where the child calls the parent by their name, right, the problem is deeper than that. The problem is that parents ought to construct safe spaces for children to develop. And because the point you're making is important. Obviously, we have a problem socially and in the workplace with people operating, understanding how authority works, and us all having different types of authority and working together, right? So like you say, if you grow up in a household where you call your parent by the first name, when you go into the workplace, you may not understand why you're being penalized for appearing to be familiar, right? Or speaking to your boss in a way that suggests a familiarity or that you don't respect the workplace power dynamic. So I think the point is important, but it's parents that are also creating the space. And so if we approach it as if the child is responsible for all of this, the response from the child is not going to be what we want. But if we acknowledge honestly that we all have a part in creating this environment, we'll get better responses from our young people.
Yeah, but too, I think that mm-hmm. children actually find out, right, the secret that we are very hypocritical as parents.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying by this, right, I went to the food store the other day, right?
Yes.
And the parent told the child, spank the child in the hand, pop, pop, spank, right?
Yeah.
I said, well, okay, don't touch nothing inside the store.
Right.
Right? Man, 5 minutes later, I saw the same parent teeth and grapes.
There you go.
They ain't just teeth the grapes. They ain't just eat one or two grapes, right?
Mm-hmm.
They eat the whole pack of grape and then push the thing in the back of the aisle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Then they can spine the child once again, say, don't touch them.
Ah, you are creating a schizophrenic state within the child.
So now the child don't even understand what...
Up regularly on parents who break traffic controls with the children in the car.
No, them people retarded. Some
developmentally challenged. We can use developmentally challenged color.
Okay.
But the points that you make, I think, are valid. But like you say, when you say children discovered the secret, let's change our perspective. Parents have exposed their weaknesses, right?
Right.
And that is that when you raise in children, your life changes. You have to be a model for them. And if they catch you slipping, then you need to be honest enough to go to them and say, look here, you catch me slipping, but I'm going to acknowledge to you I did wrong, and this is what we do when we do wrong. You have to. That's the responsibility of being a parent. And then for those of us who don't have children, if we want to live in nice communities and we want to be able to turn to our neighbors, then we also have to be prepared to be neighborly and model that behavior as well. And don't say things like, well, I ain't got children, so I ain't worried. Yes, sir. Thank you very much for your contribution this morning.
Okay, have a good dinner.
You too. You as well. Absolutely. And I'll say it again. A space, and people say, well, Aaron, I didn't create it. It was like this when I was growing up. In fact, I'm getting ready to ask my Uncle Stanley Mitchell now, when he was a young man, did he feel like he was expected to be both a man and a boy at the same time or whenever it was necessary, or were the social and familial and community dynamics slightly different? But we're going to get into that conversation a little later. At this point in time, Mr. Mitchell asked to carve out a space, again, to speak to the life and legacy of Mr. Keith Parker, who passed very recently. He was a coach, a teacher, a sports administrator, and I think an educator who, once coming to the Bahamas, realizing the contribution that he could make, made a commitment to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Good morning, Mr. Mitchell.
Good morning, and thanks for having me. How are you doing this morning?
I am good, thank you, sir.
I guess those two stories hit you a little hard.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I will say, I went to an event on Tuesday night, and at that event, we had a conversation centered around an incident that a community member had attempted suicide. And so it is very real to me right now. But we're going to hold a space. Let's talk about someone who committed to doing the work of creating safe spaces for young people to develop their potential.
I like the way you put that, because that was actually Keith Parker. I was coached by Keith Parker from 1960 to almost 63 at the Gumman High School. And I studied him, I knew him, we became friends later on after all of that. I loved the man, I loved his work ethic and the way he went about doing things. Keith Parker, and I hear a lot of these young journalists and I see them writing about Keith Parker, but they really don't know Keith Parker. They pick up something, they read something that's online or something and run with it and say things that, once it started wrong, it keeps on going wronger. And as a person who likes history, back from time to time, talks with them. I'll try to get it straight. Keith Parker went to Loughborough, what we would call community college or technical college, to train young men and women to be sports administrators in every area. Keith Parker was also a young athlete. He was a decathlete, and that gave him the opportunity to understand most of the events that you go in track and field.
So he competed in the decathlon.
And specialized in long jump.
Okay.
Keith Parker finished the college, looked around and decided what he would do. He was competing for England at certain games. But he had a sense of adventure in him. So he applied to the Foreign Office at that time to see if there were any jobs available overseas. Mm-hmm. He wanted to get out there and get this knowledge that he had into the hearts and minds of younger people. At the time that he did it, fortunately, he was going to a games, the 1958 Commonwealth Games in Cardiff, Wales. And when he arrived to compete, he understood that a young man who was a top sprinter at the time was from one of the places that he applied to or on his list to go. And he searched out the great Thomas Augustus Robinson and spoke with him. I think I should come. I don't know anything about the Bahamas. And they struck up a little friendship. And you know Tommy Robinson, if you know him. He said, man, come on down. This could be the best thing that ever happened to you. And as fate and life would have it, Keith admits that it was. So on that chance meet, he decided to come to the Bahamas. He replied to the Foreign Office. He was offered a space here in the Bahamas at the Gumman High School. Well, that began a history of sports that many people who weren't around at the time do not understand again. Keith Parker came to Gumman High, and from that moment on, you know, every year they had competitions between we were considered a private high school, even though public, and between St. John's, QC, SAC, and the rest of them, we beat SAC for the whole time I was there and for years afterwards, who were our main competition. And Keith was the main reason behind it. What happened was that he knew about events like the shot put, the javelin, the discus, that weren't even taught here at the time. They weren't, the PE teachers at the time didn't know those events well enough to teach them. So he had an advantage right away. He understood the jumps also. So he knew all the field events, 100, 200, and all of that. And he immediately started to win. He trained people that you wouldn't believe were athletes at the time. And I can name some of them that come to mind. Well, we know that Dr. Bernard Knowledge was one of his proteges right away. But we had people like John Roll, the former controller of customs. He made a shot putter out of him. Mikey Isaacs was a pole vaulter. Reggie Smith from Tourism and Exuma was a pole vaulter. Even Boozy Roll held the intermediate boys record in the pole vaults because the only people at that time that can pole vault was Charlie Morse, we call him Geach, who was older, and Van der Poel, I forget his first name, of the Van der Poel brothers, and they have a grandson right now that's a record holder in the pole vault. But
we talking Gas Man Charlie Morse.
Wow. They call him Geach.
Yeah.
He did everything himself. He was one of those who somehow got to know these events, didn't even know what it was. And the beat went on, but his clowning glory and his expertise and his understanding of the sport came, I think, in 1962, when he challenged the main sporting clubs to a meet. So he had high school children at Government High compete in what's called the open
categories, yeah,
meet as a team.
Okay.
So it's the Vikings, my club, the Pioneers, and St. Bernard's. And we beat them. But his genius was that he knew the he can do the field events. His track team was mediocre against those top people. But he also stole some of the athletes from those clubs. You take an athlete like Bernard Knowledge, he was part of St. Bernard's, but he ran for Government High. Mikey Wallace and Pihu Long Jump. So he put it all together, and he won by 1 or 2 points, and it came at the end when he and a young man who went to Government High, Ralph Harris, threw the javelin, and they came first and second and won the meet. Sadly, right after that, Keith was called away from teaching in the school and became some kind of administrator for schools.
Absolutely. At one point, I would like to talk about his time as a national team coach and which teams he coached and which competitions he led.
Okay, we can talk about that. But Keith taught at every level. He taught at the CARIFTA level. The CARIFTA, that was when I was coming to.
Absolutely.
Before we were being beaten. And when Keith came, all of that changed. He was then again ahead of the times in the field events where Jamaica and Trinidad and those didn't have a coach like that. And we beat Jamaica, and we beat all of them. And the glory and the results goes to Keith Parker again. And he had athletes that could do what they, like Bradley Cooper, Chanel, Ferguson, Stephen Ray. You can name them. He was involved with, but he coached at every level. He coached at the CARIFTA level, the regional CAC level. There was no world championships in those days. So the Commonwealth Games, which he went to and went on to coach, and the Olympics. And he was chosen because of his knowledge and understanding of the whole, how the whole thing works, because he had been there and done that. They always called on him to coach. And you, I have photos and videos of him, even after he left the school system, still out there coaching. I mean, and he's, the amazing thing was his last coaching protege, a boy getting old, like Trevor Barry, who just won a medal at the world stage, got a bronze medal.
High jump,
High jump. And Keith coached him. But the beauty of it was that at that meet, Coach Parker couldn't go. Keith Ronald Cartwright, who will tell you in the 70s, he watched Coach Parker and even went him and asked him to show him how to coach these events. He was so fascinated with the throws. He also coaches the high jump and has high jumpers. But Keith and he came upon a plan that he had Barry, and they would do it by phone. They would communicate, and Barry won the bronze medal through that system. So every time he turned around, he would look for Keith because something wasn't going right. Then he'd have to remember, oh, Coach Cartwright is here, and Coach Cartwright would follow the plan, and they came through with it. And that's real coaching. You know what coaching is? You know the movie To Serve with Love?
Yes.
There's a verse in the song that says, someone who took you from crayons to perfume. And that's what Keith did with athletes. He'd take you from not knowing almost the event at all, right up to graduation to the top.
Now, is that the job of a sports administrator, or did Keith Parker expand and evolve, right? Did he expand what it meant to be a sports administrator?
He did that, and he did that well also. I did a little documentary on him when he was honored in 2007 or something, and it says in the writing, which I did, I'm having a blank moment now. You asked me.
He was an administrator. Yeah.
He was behind the scenes. He was a vice president in the B3As at one time. He was on the council, and then he graduated to just a senior member just to be called on at any time for anything. He's with 100 athletes. He's with 2 athletes. He's behind the scenes, money for the organization. He's making sure everything goes as planned at track meets. He did it all.
Absolutely. Because here's what I'm thinking, right? I'm thinking, like, right now, we need a Keith Parker Sports Administration Scholarship, right? But we need a space, a school, because what we have shown collectively, or what we can say anecdotally, is that we have an expansive pool of talent, sports talent. Mm-hmm. Right? And to the point where we're going to make a regular segment, this debate about whether we need to concentrate on a minimal number of disciplines and expand our potential for success and domination in those disciplines, or whether we should attempt to participate in as many sports as possible, right, across disciplines to take advantage of the opportunities to propel athletes.
Who is this we?
Me and you, sir.
Oh.
I mean, I'm trying to set up the debate, right?
Yeah.
Because I think it's an interesting one. But Mr. Parker's ability to identify talent,
Right.
Like you say, to see a Bernard Nottage and to say, hey, I know this boy could do that.
Right.
And I think about who saw Usain Bolt? Who saw lanky Usain Bolt? Like maybe, you know, the mountains in Jamaica, you hang on to the back of the bus to go up the mountain and then you fly down the mountain, you know, the hill.
Yeah, yeah.
Who saw a Usain Bolt pushing his way up a mountain and said, that's it, that's him right there, grab him, see if you could catch him.
There are those people in Jamaica.
Yeah.
I know three of them, top coaches,
mm-hmm.
and they would even come to, I say us sometimes, and say, boy, that boy Andrew Tynes, give him to me, and I'll make him a world beater.
Yeah.
Him.
And so...
And they understand what Keto understood years and years ago. They look at you. They look at your form. They look at your height. They look at your length of your arms and everything and decide mm-hmm. what you could be and even try you in it.
Yeah, because having the talent pool isn't the success. It's being able to identify the talent... the potential success in a time frame, right? Because we have this...
You understand this, and I've been telling coach these people this for 70 years. I don't need 3 million people to win Carifta, as they say Jamaica has. I need three coaches who could take 77 people who are going to Carifta, mm-hmm. like Keith Parker did in 1982, took 7 athletes and came back with 6 medals.
Mm-hmm.
You have them, the three of them come back with 60-some medals and you win the games. I don't need all them people. I need what you're talking about.
Right, and to see who looked at Wanye McCoy, right?
Mm.
And watch him sprinting on that fast break to dunk the ball and said, boy, you wasting that talent you have there. Let me take you on the track. Because I think when we look at the experience of Devin Charlton who broke her foot,
mm-hmm.
right? Anthony Strawn, who was at the stride and then had the shin splint injuries.
Mm-hmm.
You have a limited amount of time. We look at a Jazz Chisholm who unfortunately may have dampened his potential, right? Because he wanted to blast a hole in the MLB in that first year with the back injury.
Yeah.
You have to be able to identify the talent and place it right in the right place. Not basketball, track ball, volleyball, right? Not long jump, but rowing. Why? Because you get the arms. Because you have the legs, that means you have the arms. And what we need is the arms to get our rowers together.
I wonder when we could have when people could get serious. I see 5'2" fellas playing basketball. I see young men playing softball when they should be playing baseball. There's no future in softball for a young man. Why are they playing it? It's an old man sport. You do that after you finish with baseball and you want a slower and a softer ball
mm-hmm.
to come at
softball,
you.
Softball, yeah.
Boozy roll. And we keep on doing it, letting people, you know, just... Look at my favorite high jumper on a dare. He was at a basketball thing and say, "Well, you can't jump that," and he went on to become a world champion, Bahamian. Realizing, hey, I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
He jumped 7 feet in tennis, and then went on with what we call pole vault spikes to high jump. But this all around, and it's not being corralled properly to be used efficiently for the Bahamas, and I agree with you.
Like, for instance, we had this beautiful tension between the men's national basketball team in the Olympic trials and the juniors, the aquatic teams, right? And so our Carifta aquatic team, we record-breaking. We have, 8 out of the last 9 championships, right? We got a young guy named Taylor, swimmer. He's in university now. He's doing great things. He's broken national records. He performed really well. But it seems like Taylor has a handicap, right? When Taylor got into the pool, you realize that his competitors have a foot over him.
Is he black?
Yeah, black guy.
You heard about Jimmy the Greek?
Yeah.
He predicted 30, 40 years ago that black people can't swim fast and they'll never win anything major at the Olympics. He was fired for that from NBC or one of them. Mm-hmm. But it's true to this day.
Here's what I think the problem is. All your prime swimming candidates are playing basketball and volleyball.
No, you could say that, but that's not true. They're built differently.
Height, but also height.
It's not just height.
And span.
Phelps and them look like albatross. They built from here down here. You can't see.
So he looks webbed. He looked like he could
webbed.
Be Aquaman. So here's my thing.
He's Aquaman. We don't build Aquaman.
But we do, Uncle Stan. What are you busy doing? They busy diving up crawfish and building house by the time they... Week 16.
I don't argue that point. I know how they're built. I know Phelps can be down on his feet. I'm not all used right. like black men's feet. They're like flippers. He can be down the road before you even start.
So. We have a tribe in the Micronesia area, maybe closer to Papua New Guinea, right?
Yeah.
Of dark skinned melanated people. They are a water tribe. They live on the water, and their ability to hold their breath is exponentially longer than ours. I just saying, I know somebody from Mayo, Guana, who dive up so much conk in one session. Have we not discovered
there's no competition for holding your breath? I don't believe.
But what I'm saying is that we have peoples, right, in our archipelago who we would call water people. These guys spend most of the year in the water. Are you saying to me it's not a matter of not identifying the right talent, that we may have a physiological issue that kind of handicaps Africans in the diaspora compared to...
Right. It's a reverse with black men sprinting and white men sprinting.
Okay.
They call it a fast twitch muscle that most white people don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So black people will predominantly beat them.
Because before we close it out, I watch a Konki Jobai from Abaco dive off a boat and catch a tidal. The boat was speeding. The tidal was speeding. And this boy jumped into the...
You're talking about my son-in-law.
I just saying. And he catched that tidal.
Yeah.
I understand the technical position, right?
Mm.
In my heart of hearts, I know somebody here could compete against Phelps.
You know, we ain't going to do that, but what you should do, if they could have break dancing in the Olympics, you could put forward a paper for them to have something like what you saw
in that video.
In that video, even it has to do with being able to stay underwater longer or catch a turtle.
They already have water porking in the Olympics. They get like beyond a water polo, it's like a water dodgeball.
Yeah, I played that at Western Senior in the 50s.
We should have been scoring in that competition.
We were good at that too. We stopped that. Because you played up against a wall and you fell out the duck and you're parking him.
And so one of my arguments was when Dr. Christian Campbell brought forward a statement leading into the Olympics demanding the resignation of the president of the Olympic BOC and the committee members surrounding the mixed relays procedure.
Mm-hmm.
My argument was that it's important to understand what the rules allow, right? We could disagree with the decision made, but if they don't breach the rules, right, the scope of their authority, then you can't necessarily call for them to resign. But I argue that we could call for them to resign because there appears to be a dereliction of duty in terms of exploring the events that Bahamians could participate in. We could have sent a breakdancing team. If that woman, Dr. Gunn, qualified to be in breakdancing, I argue that I could have sent the whole SWAT team, named Reggie, that went to Dubai, Perry Christie and Hubert Minnis, to the breakdancing competition, and we would have scored some points.
Christie would have won.
There you go. But I'm saying, is the Olympic Committee doing its work of maximizing our potential to participate in the Olympics?
Diego Mitchell, being bound to swear to dogmas and no master, you call me out?
This is tied to...
Yeah, I agree. They're not doing the job. In fact, it's that organization has been since I've known it from the 60s. But what do you do? We're doing that not only there. We're doing that in the country. We're doing that in sports organizations and everything else. We have a system now where you become the water boy, then the bad boy, and then you hang around, and you're next. Mm-hmm. Whether you know the sport, love the sport, you're just next. Mm-hmm. And an amazing fact is that three of them, I believe, track and field, swimming, and soccer, are not on the board of the Olympic Committee. And they're the three major sports in the country,
mm-hmm.
because somebody's devised a way to keep them out. I could tell you that too, but we don't have the time.
Are we going to go to a break, caller, Aguilar?
Good morning and happy Friday from the 49er Nation. Good
morning. Hey, get off this radio.
We had ourselves a great game yesterday.
I watched the game. It wasn't a great game.
It was a great game. We came up with a W, just like them Dolphins last week, but they barely beat the Patriots. They say a win is a win, right?
But listen, win is a win. If we didn't beat the Patriots, I was packing up my whole Georgie bundle and going to go live somewhere else. The Patriots are 1-4 as of this loss with the Dolphins. They lost 10-15 to the Dolphins. If the Dolphins couldn't beat the Patriots, and the Dolphins better beat the Jaguars, they got to beat the Jaguars.
Why? The Jaguars finally got their first win last week. They might just smack yours.
I mean, you think the Jaguars can take it from here and make it to the playoffs?
They may.
From 1-4?
They may. I mean, the Colts quarterback is down right now. You know, Mr. Richardson.
Yeah.
Down right now. Joe Flacco is behind center right now. Mm-hmm. So we'll see. Obviously, Flacco Magic just may have a last gasp effort.
The 49ers pulled it out last night, 36-24 against the Seahawks. Let me see what y'all doing. Against the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pigeons.
Here's what I have for you. Bye week this week. Kansas City Chiefs, LA Rams, Dolphins, we get a rest, Minnesota Vikings. Minnesota Vikings.
Thank you, Lord. You mean to say no Saudians on TV this week?
No, to say
thank
that.
Thank you, Lord.
Did we have a chance of not losing? I mean, we can't win, but we definitely can't lose, so I like it. But the Chiefs and the Vikings, 5-0, both teams leading.
Yeah, 5-0, yeah.
Is this a bad omen? This is potentially a bad omen for them. Is this the time for them to take a rest and they got this momentum burning? It's a likelihood when they get back. I don't have week 7 schedule in front of me, but when they get off of this bye week,
they play us.
Okay. Chiefs or Vikings?
The Chiefs play us.
Okay.
Next week Sunday.
Ah, boy. Okay.
And then we got the Cowgirls the week after.
Okay. Well, what do you all have this week? You think you can beat them this week?
We just beat the Seahawks.
Oh, right, last night.
We just beat them.
By 8 points. Look at that. A whole 8 points.
Damn, it wasn't even that close.
But look here, let's talk about WNBA.
First and foremost, good morning, Mr. Mitchell.
Good morning. How are you, sir?
I'm well, sir.
How long you been with this team?
From the womb to the tomb, from birth.
What?
My father's a 49er.
He born into that.
I born into that. Dudley Joy is a 49er, so that's how I get to be a man.
I got to figure that one out. How Dudley get to be a 49er?
You can go talk to him. But listen,
talk to him.
I didn't watch the game last night. They lost by 2 points. I even call in that the loss. But I like this Guardian headline. The Lynx steal game one. John Quayle, I hope you told them. They rob us.
Whoa.
They rob us.
The whole game. I watch our game and the Lynx game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on two separate screens. But the game was tight. It was nip and tuck all game. Had to been at least 14, maybe 15 lead changes. It was a tight game.
Ah, boy. Well, listen, going to the break, when we come back from the break, I'm just going to ask you, what's your top game for the week? And then I got to close out this segment with Stanley Mitchell about Keith Parker because... I'm very interested in the space that Keith Parker has created and whether we could sustain it, right, to continue to grow sports in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. You're on the clock with Erin Green. We're going to a break. We'll be right back.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out. Screening reveals a concern? Our radiologists can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Girl, Junior just showed me Bulla Boy in his phone.
What you mean? He take picture of that good for nothing boy?
Shh, you don't want Bulla hair. You say that. You know she always say that's my good child.
So what he doing in Junior phone?
Oh, he there because the police looking for him. He on that wanted list.
Wanted persons in your phone now?
Yes, child. And when police won't find anybody quick, after something happened, they can send picture direct to your phone. Go to Google Play or App Store and search for Crack Crime Bahamas, then pick install and it will go straight to your phone.
There is also a section on missing persons.
Yes, girl. Everybody needs to get this app so police can tell us right away when these people go missing. Just like an alert system.
Yes, it has numbers for Crime Stoppers Bahamas so you can call and nobody knows you. Call directly to Miami and give the information without giving your name or anything about you. I tried it the other day and when I hear Junior and his boys talking about where they hide those guns, I walk quick around the corner and call that number.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
No matter who I marry, no matter where my wife gives birth, our children will be Bahamian, like me.
If I marry a man who's not Bahamian, I have to give birth in the Bahamas, or my children won't even be Bahamian like I am.
That don't even make sense.
That's why we had the referendum in 2016.
But the people vote no.
The government can still do something about it with ordinary legislation. And it needs to develop an action plan and timeline to hold another referendum to deal with gender inequality in the Constitution.
Well, we can make that happen.
Go to tiny.cc/nationality to support the campaign for equal nationality rights by Equality Bahamas.
You try to rest, get the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers, for window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Good morning and welcome back. You're on the clock with Erin Green on this Sports Friday. Mr. Soyega, one more question for you. A text came in. They said, I heard that they're getting ready to trade Tyreek Hill. You heard that? You there, Soyega?
Like, you know, he's frustrated. Mm-hmm. But I'm not sure if we can hold it on that because his contract's too big right now for any team to want to take on.
I got you. You think it was that incident in week one where the cops pulled him over on his way into the stadium that frustrated him?
He just doesn't have a quarterback to throw it in the ball.
Well, there you go. I'd get frustrated too. I would.
You know, just turning the ball over is recovery.
Mm-hmm. You make me feel like Elisa Ramming. I'm ready to play, but you ain't never throwing me the ball, eh? All right, Mr. Soyega, we close off this discussion about the advancement of sport and development of sport in light of the passing of Mr. Keith Parker. The WNBA is having an expansion draft for the 13th WNBA franchise, the Golden State Valkyries, set for December 6th. And I was in the break, I was talking to Mr. Mitchell and saying that while Tiffany Hayes was named the 2024 WNBA Sixth Player of the Year, and Caitlin Clark was named the Rookie of the Year, and Cheryl Reeve was named the WNBA Coach of the Year and WNBA Basketball Executive of the Year, and Caitlin was named the Kia 2024 Rookie of the Year. Caitlin should get the player with the most impact on the league of the year. And that's what it is, right? That my argument wouldn't necessarily be Rookie of the Year, although I looked at the stats and Angel Reese only got 1 out of 67 votes, right? I definitely say that Caitlin Clark has had the greatest impact on the WNBA, right? And women's sports for 2024. Her presence as a rookie in the league brought attention to the league, and it's possibly the reason why we got this expansion team now. Now, all of Jonquel Jones to get traded to Golden State so her and Buddy could hang out together and eat Kong salad together. That's it. Then I could be happy. Now, Mrs. Sawyer, thank you very much. I hope you could come into studio next week so we could celebrate the New York Liberty's championship win.
First championship, yeah.
Yep, in the WNBA. And thank you for joining me. I just want to...
Oh, by the way, in a game of the week to watch is the Commanders and the Ravens game. That's at 1 o'clock. Two back quarterbacks, rookie quarterback, and the reigning MVP in the league. So
yeah,
the
absolutely.
Commanders are a formidable team this year. So
yeah, they're 4-1.
It's going to be a good game.
Absolutely. Buccaneers doing well at 3-2. Eagles not looking good. They're 2-2. They won their bye week last week, so they're catching up. Cowboys at 3-2. It's going to be an exciting weekend, Mr. Sawyer. Thank you very much.
We started it off right. With a 9-0 win.
Absolutely. Bang, bang, 9-0 gang. Producer, don't you never play that Miami Dolphins theme song until I get you a new theme song to play for them. Anyway, I have a text here about Mr. Parker. Thank you so much, Mr. Sawyer. You don't have to go. Aaron, okay. I'm just tuning in. Heard you were talking about Mr. Parker. Aside from his athletic involvement, he was also a huge figure in the local darts association, providing a top-notch venue for many years and dart supplies. He was also a top darts player. Well, listen, I inherited a T-shirt from my aunt Juanita Green, Nurse Green. She's known as Nurse Green. She worked at Atlantis for many years. And the shirt has a name on it. It's the Innkeepers. And I'm almost certain it was a darts team because my aunt Juanita not only played darts, but she hosted darts, right, at her house. So if anybody knows, was the Innkeepers a local darts team? Thank you very much, Texter, for sharing that information.
He also played badminton.
He played all the
squash.
Yeah.
Everything.
He was a racket guy, too.
Yeah. Just to keep in shape, most even his older years.
Mm-hmm.
But he was remarkable.
Yeah.
Keith Parker, what can I say? Thanks for the memories. Thanks for everything that you did for this country. You lived away, I know, but not for long. Keith Parker came here and he stayed. He became a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
He loved the country so much, worked with the people. I don't know what else to say. He did it all. And
absolutely.
There are many out there who can attest.
And our former Prime Minister, Perry Christie.
And you know, that must have been difficult. I'm sorry.
How he get the shuffle? How he get him to stop shuffling while he's running? That's what I want to know, right?
That's how Perry started off, not when he was in it. That's before he took off.
a Bernard B.J. Nottage, a Laverne Eve, Chanel Ferguson, Trevor Barry, and Mr. Mike Sands, Bahamian President of the North American, Central American, and Caribbean Athletics Association says, he was not my substantive coach, but my interaction with him came during the time I was on national teams. He was very knowledgeable and well-versed in any area that he delved into. We were able to gain so much from him. He was a stickler for detail and left nothing to chance. With him at the helm, we had everything that we needed to perform. Mr. Mitchell, thank you very much. Mr. Sawyer, thank you very much. And just as we go, Mr. Mitchell, now that I have you here, I've been petitioning, sending out invitations to bid. I need an uncle, a father, or a grandmother trick-or-treating.
Oh,
I put
God.
You on notice, sir. If not you, I'm going to have to call my Uncle Billy and my Uncle Butch to see what they do in this Halloween. Dear Cousin Cole, I just want to borrow Uncle Stanley, okay? I just want to borrow him. Thank you so much, Mr. Sawyer. Tell Mr. Sawyer the second I may come and petition him as well. You guys have a wonderful National Heroes Holiday. Take time out to spend time with your children.
Sponsored by the 49ers. All right.
Sponsored by the 49ers. Y'all be easy with one another. Love one another. Be each other's heroes this National Heroes Day. And of course, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.